This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
Assassinations and attempted assassinations. Is this political persecution? What would you call it? The illegitimate pursuit of power? Is this truly a demonstration of the rule of democracy or the desire for democracy, or is actually lurking the destruction of a democratic republic? Is it also the pursuit of global government versus national sovereignty? All of those things taking place here on Viewpoint today as we look at the horrific developments in our country that are reverberating around the world. So I welcome you to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Crismeyer. It's conversation as always with ever-increasing conviction, talk that transforms. Let me suggest to you something that may not enter your mind and may not appear and probably will not appear in any of the local, national, or world media. As with ancient Rome, the resurrecting end-time Rome will brook no opposition once enthroned. In fact, will not brook any opposition to become enthroned. The statement by James Paul Warburg on February 17, 1950, before the United States Senate was very profound and sets it all forward very simply. We shall have world government whether or not we like it. He said, the only question is whether world government will be achieved by conquest or consent. Assassination, my friends, is a form of conquest. If you can't get consent, you kill your opposition. You do everything you can because we will have world government whether you want it or not. And you won't hear anybody talking about it. It's as if it's the secret agenda, but it's not really so secret if you have a will to see and understand the dynamics of what is taking place and in the context of biblical prophecy. So I welcome you again to Viewpoint. It's conversation as always with ever-increasing conviction, talk that transforms. And so we want to just think out loud here. We know that there has been a previous attempt at assassination. It came within a quarter of an inch of taking the life of Donald J. Trump, a former American president and one who is, depending on who you're talking to, partially in the lead in the approach to the 2024 presidential election. What will somebody do? What will a group do? What would an organized group do? What would those behind the scenes who have put their entire hope and trust in establishing a world government, what would they do to make it happen and to remove any obstacle in their path? What would they do? Well, they might false accusations. They might actually file lawsuits, even make up artificial charges and so on, not just lawsuits, but actual criminal cases. They might do that to take out their opposition. They may file monstrous lawsuits and make up facts, suborn perjury, do whatever it takes in order to take out the opposition, to put such pressure on the opposition that they will give up. And if they won't give up, you take them out. Is that what's happening? I think there's a whole lot of truth in that, my friend. And we're going to continue to look at that here today on Viewpoint. The one effort a few months ago resulted in the death of the individual, the young man, who attempted the assassination and almost succeeded. But the more we hear about what happened, the more we hear about how he escaped being either seen or confronted by the Secret Service, it's as if either something went drastically wrong within the Secret Service itself, or it was a setup. It was actually planned to allow the open terrain so that the opportunity might be presented for such an attack. I'm not saying that's what happened, but there are a whole lot of things that suggest that that very well may be what happened. And the more we hear about it, the more that sounds reasonable. And then we have the other situation that just occurred yesterday. Again, within the realm of the Secret Service, a man manages to get into the proximity. He's there for 11 hours. 11 hours. Never supposedly spotted. Has all the paraphernalia necessary to conduct an assassination and even to take pictures of it. How does that happen? With the supposed greatest security force in the world, the United States Secret Service. How does that happen? Are we actually that weak and that unprepared and really putting our trust in an agency that is totally untrustworthy? Or is the agency purposefully untrustworthy? In other words, leaving ways open for things to take place that either they knew were going to happen or knew were going to be attempted, or at least would leave the way open for something to take place. Hope, hope, hope. Not sure. But as we see these things developing and reoccurring, it should cause American, reasonable American people to begin to seriously wonder and be concerned that what we're really looking at here is not the protection of democracy, but the destruction of democracy. All in the name of destroying the one who supposedly was the destruction of democracy, as the Democrat Party has asserted over Donald J. Trump. They say he is the great danger to democracy, and yet it's the Democrats that are carrying out these agendas. Where is the great demonstration or danger to democracy? Where is it lurking? When the former, when the current head of the United States Senate, Chuck Schumer, came out during the hearings concerning one of the Supreme Court justices and went public and warned, you don't want to get involved with the Secret Service. You know what they could do to you, Donald Trump. Interesting. Democracy.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues and homosexuality was an abomination. So what happened in just one generation? Hi, I'm Chuck Chrismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Oftentimes in legal cases, they say, follow the money. Just follow the money. Well, here, let's follow the patterns. The patterns. The patterns. You see, human beings are required to use discernment. In other words, we're not supposed to just willy-nilly go along as if nothing really is happening. It's just happenstance. Things are just happening. No, they're not just happening. How do we know they're not just happening? Well, consider this. Remember Lindsay Davis, one of ABC's moderators for this last week's presidential debate? She bragged in a puff piece by the Los Angeles Times about her as a new rising star, how she prepared to interrupt and correct President Donald Trump during the matchup with Kamala Harris. She prepared to interrupt him. And stunningly, the profile failed to even note that Davis got her facts, which she used to specifically interrupt and correct Trump, wrong. The same was true with David Muir, the other moderator. They've come under harsh criticism for one-sided biased event they staged. They repeatedly corrected Trump while ignoring blatant lies used by Harris. Now, there are lots of discussions concerning this, but the reality is it has now come out that these two, David Muir and Lindsay Davis, spent hours and hours and hours analyzing Donald Trump, his speeches, his statements, in order for one purpose to be accomplished. And that is to find areas that they could attack him by interrupting. That's what they purposed to do. It's already come out by admission. That's what they did. Is that how we protect democracy? Or is that a kind of political assassination? Not to kill the person, but to kill their opportunity to be a legitimate candidate. You see, we use the word assassination in a variety of ways. Technically, it's just talking about the killing of a public figure, the murder of a public figure, usually having to do with political purposes, such as to seize power, to start a revolution, to draw attention to a cause, or to exact revenge, or to undermine a regime or its critics. But we also talk about character assassination, don't we? In other words, you try to murder a person by destroying their character. How about trying to murder a person's candidacy, assassinate a candidacy by continually lying and purposely gathering together to connive, to present something that purportedly is fair and unbiased, when in fact it is decidedly and intentionally not fair and unbiased, as what happened with this latest debate. There was not a debate at all. The very heart of the debate was removed by the conniving of the so-called moderators, who were not moderators, but persecutors. That's what their intent was, to assassinate, not kill the body, but to kill the campaign. The puff piece continued in the Los Angeles Times that Davis acknowledged that she and Muir could not nail every misstatement, but they did study each candidate's body of work ahead of time and had an idea of what to expect. Problem is, they were not true and accurate in their so-called corrections. And so they revealed the skullduggery of what they were doing. And it should not have happened in the first place. So in that, they revealed not only their lack of being a moderator, but actually their intent to create chaos, distrust, not a legitimate conversation, not an unfolding of the truth concerning the candidates, but actually to destroy the truth, to undermine the truth with intent. That's what they did. Now, would you call that political assassination in a sense, a figurative sense? How far does one have to go in order to create a situation where the depth of intent to deceive is so great against a person, against a candidacy, or whatever? How far does one have to go before it becomes a form of assassination? Interesting question, I think. But all of this fails to acknowledge what the root of it is. What is the root of this? Is it abortion? Certainly that's a big issue for Democrats, abortion. Largely that's been removed from the plate because the states now have dominion over that issue, and many of them, the people are deciding one way or the other whether they're, what their position is going to be on that. But false accusations are made by Kamala Harris that Mr. Trump intends to have a national government mandate to prohibit abortion. Nothing could be further from the truth, and there's no evidence for such a thing. So it's a false statement. Why is the statement made? To incite violence. That's why it's made. To incite violence among a large group of people, particularly those under 40, women under 40, to carry out demonstrations and create a chaotic situation. That's what's the purpose of saying it. We have to be very honest about why things are done and how they're done. When you engage in political, the breeding of chaos, you are in the process of assassinating democracy. In the name of freedom, you're assassinating democracy, the democratic spirit, the democratic republic. So what's at stake here is not just the life of Donald Trump. It's the very life of the republic. That's what they're attempting to assassinate. In the name of pursuing democracy, they are actually deceiving the public because their intent is not to protect and preserve democracy, but to destroy it and to usher in a whole new government, a global government. That's what's happening. And you won't hear people talk about it because they're afraid to talk about it and because there are so many Republicans who actually are globalists. And then you had the Pope, who is a globalist, by his own admission. And two previous popes who called for a new world order, a new global order. You see, this is a much bigger issue than anybody wants to admit. The real issue here is not abortion, and it's not just illegal immigration by itself. That, my friends, is part of the pattern to prepare for a new global order, to flood the Democratic Republic with those who are not legitimate participants in that republic, and therefore gradually to take over by flooding the country with those who have no allegiance to the country. Therefore, more easily assimilating the country into a new global order. That, my friends, is what is actually happening. Now, you may say, well, no, somebody said that the reason is because the Democratic leadership is trying to perpetuate the Democratic Party so it will become an ultimate single-party country, and the Democrat Party will become a dictatorship. All right, let's take that. Why would they do that? Because they're trying to prepare for a one-world government, friends. That's why. When John Kerry, former presidential candidate, Democrat, who became Joe Biden's environmental czar, spoke very boldly on behalf of the World Economic Forum and the Great Reset Plan of Klaus Schwab, declared on the inauguration of Joe Biden that his inauguration would launch the final steps of the Great Reset. That's right. Joe Biden. Now, is that for the protection of a democratic republic called the United States of America? No, it's for the destruction of it. That's what it was all about. You can't have the Great Reset that Klaus Schwab calls for to be implemented by 2030. And the one world government that the United Nations is calling for under Agenda 2030, you see all these things to take place by 2030. So the pressure's on. The pressure is on the globalists, whether they be Republican or Democrat. Why do you think there were so many Republicans that despised Donald Trump? Because they were globalists, like a former vice president of the United States, Cheney, and his daughter, Liz Cheney, who have done everything they could. Liz Cheney has done everything she could to persecute or annihilate politically Donald Trump. She did it through an illegitimate committee to try to take him down. A globalist. And what are they about? They are churning for war. That's what they want. In order to help achieve their globalist agenda. So the rest of us have to discern what's going on. Is this the pursuit of democracy as we have understood it, the peaceful transition of power, or are we making a mockery of it now? It's no longer the peaceful transition of power. It's what third world countries do. It's what Maduro is doing there in Venezuela. Loses the election and then uses his present power in order to come against his opposition, who it was apparent that the opposition was the clear winner of the election. So the opposition has to flee the country. And if you stand as opposition, your life is over. Globalism versus the Democratic Republic. National sovereignty versus global government. God, going back to Genesis chapter 11, ordained national sovereignty. In fact, during the Torah, he set up the nations. He said, God established the nations, the boundaries of the nations, and that was not to be changed. God did that. And when the people tried to gather together contrary to the word, will, and way of God in Genesis chapter 11 to build the Tower of Babel, God said, not so fast. And he confounded their language so they could not continue to sound together in harmony to defy God's intended purpose. But now, after all these centuries, millennia, humankind, with its final effort in massive chutzpah against the God of creation, has said, we're going to do it. We're going to do it. And ain't nobody going to stand in our way, even if his name be Donald J. Trump. Are you listening? We'll be back after this. Stay tuned. You're listening to Viewpoint.
There is so much more about Chuck Chrismeyer and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, SaveUS.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, SaveUS.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at SaveUS.org.
Thank you for joining us here on Viewpoint today. It may be a little shocking to some of you if you have not heard anything like this before, but you need to give serious thought to it. Do I believe that Donald J. Trump is the image of perfection, Christian wonder boy or something like that? No, I don't believe that at all. But he does, more than his opposition, stand in the gap for things that are consistent with the word, the will, and the ways of God as disclosed in the Bible. It's not a touchy-feely thing. You can't stand for righteousness in a touchy-feely way. Not anymore. You have to be able to stand, and you have to be able to take a strong stand, and you can't put up, you cannot tolerate and play footsie with opposition. You can't do that. That's what's gotten us in trouble over the past 50, 60 years. Spiritual compromise. And the road to hell begins at Compromise Corner. And that's where we are. On the road, shall we say, to geopolitical hell. That's a global government. So the battle lines for dominion have been drawn. God promised his Prince of Peace, and Satan the dragon would empower his counterfeit prince with a global government promising peace on earth. And that final world government would be a composite of the previous world powers, blending the best man had to offer to blasphemously compete with the Christ of God. So we read in the book of Revelation, "And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave his power and his seat and great authority. And they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is able to make war with him? And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God." You see, there were four beasts in the great vision that the prophet Daniel had. The first was a lion, Babylon. The second, a bear, Medo-Persia. The third, a leopard, Greece. And the fourth, an exceedingly dreadful beast, Rome. When Russia attacked Ukraine, in spite of the fact that Russia had warned the U.S. and NATO had warned them not to try to make Ukraine part of NATO and not to put up military enforcements there along the border of Russia that would threaten Russia, we did it anyway. All that goes back to 2014. We did it anyway. So in one sense, you could actually say that the U.S. and NATO triggered the attack. That's another way of looking at it. Is Mr. Putin some sort of glorious, sanctimonious figure that we should worship? No. But neither are we. You see, it takes two to tango, as they say. And what happened as a result of that attack is that not only Ukraine will be assimilated into NATO, which was just promised last week, but in addition to that, the northern Baltic nations that heretofore have refused to be part of NATO have been assimilated into NATO. In other words, the furthest extent of the former Roman Empire has now been completed as a result of what took place in this conflict. Can you possibly see how God, amidst all the nuances, whatever viewpoint you have concerning this, actually has accomplished that which he said was going to happen back in the book of Daniel, the great, exceedingly dreadful beast, the resurrected Roman Empire now going under the name of NATO and pursuing a one-world government, whether it's called the Great Reset, whether it's called a global government, a one-world order, it's all the same thing. So the battle for dominion now is raging. The great dragon Satan is determined to dominate the planet to satisfy his personal vendetta against God. And he's marshaling every tool at his disposal. He knows destiny is in the balance, and his determination is to deceive the whole world. He's convinced his spiritual cunning and clever seduction will draw the vast majority into his final global conspiracy against the Christ of God through a counterfeit Christ. And Jesus warned about this. He said, "Take heed that no man deceive you, my friends." So, how will such diabolical deception take place? We're watching it happen. We're watching it happen. And if you go back to September 11th, 1990, U.S. President George Herbert Walker Bush, a globalist, stood before a joint session of Congress, seemingly under the aegis of patriotism, and declared for the first time in American and world history, a new world order can emerge from this geopolitical situation. That new world order, declared President George H.W. Bush, is struggling to be born. And then over 200 times, that senior President Bush declared this new world order under his administration. It was historic. It was as if the world had become pregnant and the president of its reigning superpower was deputized to announce the conception long thought to be but the rantings of conspiracy theorists. The birth would come in the fullness of time, heaven's prophetic time and Satan's false gospel hour to seduce the world, and we're right on the edge of it right now. That's why, friends, there is such desperation, political desperation. It's not the usual battle between political parties. There is a much, much bigger issue at stake. It's not the usual discussions between differences of viewpoint and ideas concerning the Democrat Party and the Republican Party. This is much bigger. Republicans, many Republicans, have stepped over the line and are consummate globalists. And that's the reason why George Herbert Walker Bush actually voted for Hillary Rodham Clinton in 2016 over Donald Trump. Because Donald Trump had said, "We're going to make America great again." And the globalists said, "Not on your life. We'll do whatever we have to keep you from doing that." And that's what they're doing. They warred against him with two attempts to assassinate his presidency through two impeachments, and they failed. They have tried through several different criminal cases brought, and they're falling apart. They have tried through several civil cases, and those aren't necessarily going to hang together. They're frustrated. They're beyond. They're desperate. And desperate people will do almost anything if they feel that what's at stake is worthy of any measure that they would take. Even the destruction of the Republic itself. Because a new global order has to be better. That was the idea of Bill Clinton, a consummate globalist, right out of the foundation of the Rhodes Scholarship and Cecil Rhodes, the birth man of the global order. George W. Bush is a globalist. When George W. Bush said in 2001, when he said, Jews, Muslims, and Christians worship the same God, and then he turned around 2 weeks later and said, all religions worship the same God, he was proclaiming a globalist spiritual vision to unite the religions of the world. When Pope Francis came out just, was it yesterday, and declared that all religions worship the same God, he was doing exactly the same thing. Uniting the religions for a one-world government. Please listen carefully to what we're saying here. It's a false unity movement. In order to gain the false unity, you have to get rid of all opposition. And Christians, genuine followers of Jesus Christ, evangelical Christians, now are seen as that opposition. Hence the title, Threat to Democracy, Christian Nationalism Debate Takes Violent Turn. Why is it this term Christian nationalism has been conjured now by the Democrat Party, by globalists? It's because they see that Christians, true followers of Jesus Christ, I'm not talking about nominal Christians, I'm talking about true followers of Jesus Christ, will not yield to the globalist spirit. Therefore, by definition, they're a threat to democracy today because they're a threat to the absolute unfettered rule of a godless people who are seeking a one-world order. So, one illustration of how that's to be dealt with expressed by the New Agers. You'll find it in my book, Messiah, Unveiling the Mystery of the Ages. The New Age Messiah. Here's what they say. Those who resist this one world government must be selected out. In other words, you have no right to live. You are an enemy of peace. You are an enemy of the godless goal of humanity to finally be able to achieve peace on earth through humankind. And you must be removed from the earth. Are you listening?
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, I'll build my church. Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, behold how they love one another. Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
Again, I welcome you back to Viewpoint. Is it annihilation or assassination? Interesting question. Annihilation or assassination? What they're saying is true followers of Jesus Christ should not be able to breathe upon the earth. That's why they're coming up with the idea of Christian nationalism as the enemy of democracy. And yet it's Christianity that breathed the life into the whole concept of democracy or democratic republic. The whole foundation was in the Bible, as our founders set forth very clearly. But that's not good enough anymore. In fact, that gets in the way of the globalist agenda. Globalism is in reality the anti-gospel, choreographing an increasingly faithless, feeling-driven world in a final collective rebellion against God in the battle for what I call King of the Mountain. And if you have not read my book, King of the Mountain, you must get a copy. Really. It's not a matter of pride. It's a matter of what you will find in that book is going to be so eye-opening to you. As we look at the history of mankind and biblical prophecy going all the way back to creation and taking it forward to today, we see the amazing movement. It has always been and still is the battle for King of the Mountain, ultimately the rule of the Temple Mount. That's globalism's ultimate goal. That's the goal of Islam, to rule and reign from the Temple Mount. That's the goal of the papacy, by their own declaration, to rule and reign not from Rome, but from the Temple Mount. That's the goal of the New World Order. It's a spiritual goal rooted in geopolitical politics. And the massive spiritual deception is mounting as the final bridge that's bidding politicians and pastors and priests, parishioners and parachurch leaders to cross over what I call a worldly Jordan into a counterfeit promised land of global security and prosperity. So the rivers and rivulets of the world's religious isms are now combining to propel even professing Christians and Jews in the powerful currents of global oneness into the counterfeit Christ's new global order. As Jesus warned, if it were possible, they'll deceive even the very elect. This is a big deal. It's not to be taken lightly. This is not business as usual, friends. We are on the near edge of the second coming of Jesus Christ. People, get ready. This is why persecution is mounting. That's why I wrote the book, When Persecution Comes, Preparing Hearts for Perilous Times. If you don't have the book, you need to get it, and you need to get it right away. You need to get it so that you, as a father, as a mother, as grandparents, as pastors, as parachurch leaders, as youth leaders, and so on, can begin to seriously begin to prepare the people, because this is a tsunamic wave that is moving rapidly to achieve an agenda that actually is willing to kill presidents to accomplish its goal. Whatever it takes. When the Pope just came out this last week and said, all religions are worshiping the same God. He joined with George W. Bush, who said the same thing just after Gulf War, just after 2011. September 11th, 2001. Same thing. This is the move toward uniting all the religions of the world. It is believed that that will be necessary in order to for the globalists to finally achieve their goal for a one-world government. And once that has been achieved, they will take the papacy that has helped them to do that and destroy it. Read about it in Revelation chapter 17. It's very clear. It's all set forth. Now, the book King of the Mountain is a $20 book. It's yours for $15 on our website, saveus.org, saveus.org. Messiah, Unveiling the Mystery of the Ages, a $22 book, yours for $18 on our website, saveus.org, or you can call us and order any of these books. The first book will be $6 postage and handling. Any subsequent book ordered at the same time will be an additional $2 postage and handling. And then, of course, there is When Persecution Comes. Now, these books are going to lay out a picture for you, coupled with the book Antichrist, by the way. It's another $22 book for $18. This series of books will open your eyes and prepare your heart to take the necessary steps to take seriously the times that we're living in. You see, there's a reason why God, through Jesus Christ and through the apostles, warned us about these times. They weren't playing games. It was serious. He said, take heed. In other words, don't just read about it. Don't just hear about it. Do something about it. Respond to it. And that's why these books were written. Not just to inform, but they will inform. But to transform, to help us to become responsive to the facts, the spiritual facts. If you don't respond now, the risk grows greater with every week that goes by. The deeper you get into what is happening without responding and preparing, the more difficult it's going to be to respond. So when that infamous mark of the beast rolls out as the final effort to choreograph the one world government, a one world order, to compel every man, woman, and child to declare their allegiance by receiving that mark. God calls it an act of worship. You receive the mark, it's an act of blasphemy, unforgivable by God. Read about it in Revelation 14. There will be no repentance from taking that mark. No repentance, because it is deemed a final act of declaration of where your heart is, your allegiance, where your trust is. This is not a game, my friends. I know that some of you may feel, well, there's just too much intensity in a message like this. You can take it for what it is. But if you think this is intense, you ought to read and reread and reread again what Jesus said, what Paul said, what Peter said, what John said, and what James said. All of those apostles talked about this very situation. And John said, look, whoever has the hope in him of the second coming of Jesus Christ will purify himself, even as Christ is pure. In other words, he'll do something about it. He'll take it seriously. So, I want to urge you not only to get these books, because they're written for you. I receive no money from these. It takes a great deal of effort to produce them. I believe that there's a special calling to get these books out. It's like an expression of God's grace and mercy for God's people, but yours truly receives no income. Whatever resources come in, go right back into getting the message out again. No income. Now, I urge you to become a partner with us. Send your gifts by faith, friends, to Save America Ministries. P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Do it today. Call us, 1-800-SAVE-USA. And for those of you who live in the Massachusetts, Connecticut area, or even New York, we're going to be joining you on November 2nd for one of our special breakfasts up there in Agawam, Massachusetts, the first zip code in America, Agawam, Massachusetts. And we're going to be joining you there for a special breakfast. We've done this about maybe 12 or 13 times over the years, and we're doing it again on November 2nd. We urge you to sign up for that. Give us a call, 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA. You can go to our website, saveus.org, saveus.org, and sign up there. I urge you to do it as soon as possible. The deadline is October 15th. October 15th. Sign up today. Don't delay. It's going to be a great time. All of our books are going to be there. There are going to be special discounts for many books, and you're not going to want to miss the time. It's always great. Always, always great. So join us. In fact, I'll be speaking again probably the eighth or ninth time at the large Russian-Ukrainian church there in Westfield, Massachusetts. It's always a tremendous time. Congregation of, I think, maybe around 2,000. Lots of young people. And they've invited me to come there year after year because of the message, to prepare their young people, who the parents have come from Ukraine and from Russia and other Slavic countries under communism. They know what's happening in our country. They see it happening, unlike most of the rest of us. And they're concerned about their kids, their young people. And so we go there, and we spend a wonderful time with them. All right. Again, the book King of the Mountain, The Eternal Epic End Time Battle, $15. The book Antichrist, $22 book, yours for $18. Messiah, $22 book for $18. And then finally, Persecution, Preparing Hearts for Perilous Times. All right. Again, I'm so grateful to all of you for the opportunity to be able to come before you. Are we facing political persecution, or is it political assassination? Is there an attempt to annihilate all opposition, including Christians? Isn't that what the big to-do is about Christian nationalism? Or is it just assassination of leaders? Are we looking at real democracy, the peaceful transition of power, or an effort to destroy that in order to achieve an illegitimate power so as to set the stage for a new global order? That's what we're looking at. Globalism versus a democratic republic, national sovereignty versus a global government. For those of you who were part of the Persecution Project and obtained anywhere from 10 to 40 books to give away to those in your spheres of influence, I hope you have been attending to that with a holy passion, asking God to give you clarity as to who to give those to, and trust Him. Do it. Don't delay. Don't let Him gather dust. Let's get the message out there, because time is running short. Again, become a partner, friends. Become a partner. Do it today. You can become part of a very, very important ministry to get a message out that is seldom heard anywhere today. SaveUs.org. Call us, 1-800-SAVE-USA, and pray for the peace of Jerusalem as well.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.